Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week we're talking about adult video games. No, but seriously, we are going to be talking about adult video games in the sense that last week, I believe it was, there was like this new story. Yuji Horii did an interview talking about Dragon Quest XII development. And I'm going to read the whole thing here in a second. Yeah. I mean, I have not read very much into it, and I'm not going to try to like scaremonger people, but
right,
I do think it makes for just an interesting jumping off point for like a Dragon Quest game for adults, and especially coming off of FF16 being an M-rated game and all that stuff. It kind of seemed like a good topic for today. So really quickly, the Dragon Quest XII interview, and this is stuff that got picked up by a lot of sites, but it was also like it was from a radio interview Yuji Horii did that somebody translated into English, and then I think Noisy Pixel might have been the first place to pick it up.
Yeah.
And the interviewer said, there are rumors that the latest title, Dragon Quest XII, is about to be released. And Yuji Horii said, I guess it will take a little while. This time we are making a game directed toward an adult audience, so we are having a lot of trouble. And then he laughed. There was also the coronavirus pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the interviewer asked him if employees are working remotely, and he was saying yes. Was there any communication problems? Yuji Horii was saying that they use Zoom, and he has a hard time remembering faces and names, so Zoom is just like perfect for him because it has names with the faces, and laughed about that part too.
Right.
So this all happened, and then just, of course, because of it happening, just people in general, I think, from what I saw, really seemed to freak out and were like, oh, it's in trouble. Development's in trouble because of it being aimed at an adult audience, which is not what I necessarily gathered from this at all. I think Yuji Horii is likes to joke around and laugh, and is easy to laugh. And I think that to me, this is just like saying, oh yeah, you know, well, it's not coming out because we're making it for adults, so it's a little bit different, and the coronavirus. And I don't necessarily read it as like, oh, we're making a more adult Dragon Quest game, so this game is in trouble or whatever.
Right.
Like some people kind of read it as. But all of that is to say that it is kind of interesting because an adult Dragon Quest game. how do you feel about that?
I'm not happy about it because as much as I like Final Fantasy 16, the slow movement toward a mature rating over the last few games has not been one that I think was necessary. I don't think it needed to get to the point where it dropped F-bombs and showed on-screen sex. Like that's just something that the series doesn't need, and Dragon Quest really, I don't know, I just don't think that fits.
Final Fantasy is a little more, I don't know, serious, takes itself more seriously, I guess. Takes itself more seriously. And so an M-rated adult Final Fantasy doesn't feel like as much as a leap as a Dragon Quest adult game. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are dark things in all Dragon Quest games. And a lot of Dragon Quest games deal with some really dark subject matter. Some of the same subject matter that FF16 deals with, you know, like slavery and things like that. Like, I guess my thing is that, like, Dragon Quest, though, is, like, I read an interview that was talking about Dragon Quest being family friendly, and I don't know that I would go that far. I mean, there's stuff like Puff Puff that, like, I think keep it from being, like, I wouldn't consider it family friendly. Like, it's not Pokemon. But I do think that, like, with Dragon Quest, it's like, okay, well, I mean, the mascot is this cute little blue slime, and it's like there's not a whole lot of ways to make that look more adult, you know?
Right.
I mean, I guess you could give the slimes genitalia.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen.
But really, like, I don't know. I don't know. I think that Dragon Quest just makes a harder fit for if, and again, there's what an adult game means can be different, but just if we're looking at it as like an M-rated mature game, like, I do think that Dragon Quest is not the right series to fit that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, because Dragon Quest XI dealt with a whole lot of adult themes. It dealt with a lot of, I don't even want to say adult themes, it dealt with a lot of serious issues. And it dealt with a lot of things, like even through Silvando and his dad dealing with stuff that people have to deal with in general, as opposed to just being, you know, going and fighting the Chaos God, because chaos, chaos, chaos. But it's, I don't think, like, it has to, something doesn't have to be gritty and mature to be able to tell a mature and meaningful story. And that's what I'm worried about of moving into Dragon Quest, moving into what would be considered an adult Dragon Quest. I would be afraid of it trying to get too dark, that not even, I don't know, gritty, I guess, just darkness and grit for the sake of darkness and grit, as opposed to it furthering the narrative and being necessary to tell the story that they're trying to tell.
Again, it depends on how you read this, but I don't necessarily think that, I almost feel like we're kind of getting our leg pulled a little bit, our collective leg pulled a little bit here, because of the logo reveal that they did was, you know, all dark and edgy and gritty looking and had fire. And I don't see Dragon Quest just completely doing like a 180 and completely changing the way it looks, the way it feels, the way it plays, and everything like that. Like, I don't necessarily see that happen. But also, a lot of it goes into, this is, you know, translated and then comes through several, like, several different chains before we read it or whatever. So it's kind of like the telephone game, you know, where I don't speak and understand Japanese.
And right, yeah.
You whisper something in this person's ear, and they whisper it in the next person's ear, and then they whisper it to me, and it might not be completely the original. But just reading that it is aimed for adults, I think, to me, doesn't necessarily mean that it is going to have adult themes and be M-rated. It could just be like a aimed at adults in terms of like themes and content. A good example I would go to on there is Toy Story 4, right? I took Naomi to see Toy Story 4. It is 100% a kid's movie. I mean, there's not like a lot of, there's not like cursing and nudity and things like Toy Story 4, but it very much felt like it was appealing to adults who, they grew up with Toy Story. They were like a kid, like me. Right. They were a kid when the first Toy Story came out, and they grew up kind of along with the franchise. And Toy Story 4 felt way more like it was trying to appeal to people like me in their 30s who are watching Toy Story 4 and have kids of their own now. To me, like, that's kind of what I think that we might maybe talking about here with like a Dragon Quest 12 aimed at adults kind of deal.
Right.
Sentimentality, nostalgia is not something that like kids really get, because I mean, they're kids. It's like, what do they have to be nostalgic about? You know, losing their first tooth last year. Like, they just, they don't have a lot to be nostalgic for, you know, or like sentimental about. And I think that like even a game like Dragon Quest V kind of has an adult appeal, because it's like, yes, you do start off as a kid in that one, but you are an adult, you have a family, you have kids that are like 8, 9, 10 years old. You do all these things, and like, to me, that game, like Dragon Quest V, like, I get way more out of that game now as an adult than I think I would have if I was playing it and I was like 12 years old.
Yeah, that's fair. I can see that.
And so I think just strictly saying Dragon Quest XII is aimed at adults, I don't think necessarily means like that it's gonna have a bunch of like sex and drugs and rock and roll in it.
Yeah, I was talking about the new Ninja Turtles movie that's coming out to Riley the other day, and Christy, my sister-in-law, and Riley was like, I don't really care anything about seeing that. I'm like, yeah, it's because it's not made for you. It's made by Seth Rogen, and watching it seems fantastic. It's made for people my age. Kids will like it because it's funny and silly, I'm sure, but watching that movie, it's made for me, who grew up with Ninja Turtles and want to see something like of our own. And I'm like, I think I'm going to love this movie. And they have like a green icy with popping candy in it that they're going to have for it. And I'm like, I'm totally going there and getting this.
We saw the trailer for it before the Super Mario movie.
Right.
And I got really excited for it too, for the same reason. I mean, I had like all the Ninja Turtle action figures, mm-hmm. had the van and everything.
I wanted the van, never got the van, but I had the pizza tank, the one that shot the little pizzas out the front.
Loved yeah, it. Yeah, I had that one too. And anyway, but we watched the trailer and I was like trying to get the girls excited for it. And I was like, yeah, we should go see that one. That one looked really good, right? And they're all just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, and I'm like, that because it's made for them, but it's not that there may not be the target audience for it. That may not be who it is being made for. I don't know. It's maybe that's the way that they mean by adult Dragon Quest. Maybe for people like us who grew up with the originals and are moving forward and looking to dealing with something. Maybe it's a Toy Story 4 situation, like you said, which I haven't seen. I've only seen Toy Story 3 and it destroyed me, so I haven't seen 4.
I mean, it was fine. It was definitely felt more like a cash grab, but I mean, it was fine. But yeah, it was like, as I was watching it, I mean, Naomi enjoyed it. I took her to the theater to watch it. And I mean, she enjoyed it. And there were obviously lots of kids in the audience who enjoyed it. But it was very apparent to me that the like appeal here was to people more my age who grew up with it and were taking their own kids to see this movie now. And maybe this was the first time that those kids had seen a Toy Story movie, like in a theater.
Yeah, like,
that's definitely the vibe I got. And I think
that makes sense.
TLDR. Here is just, I think everybody can just kind of needs to like breathe and relax and understand that just because a game is appealing to adults doesn't mean that it's got to have like all this stuff in it like Final Fantasy 16 has. I think Final Fantasy 16 does lend itself. Like I know back in the demo episode we talked about the cursing feeling so out of place, but then in last week's episode we discussed how it felt more like it mattered, like it made more sense in the world now, and it kind of evened out and they found a good like limit for it. But and I get that they're kind of going for more like a more realistic approach here, and I think that can work with FF16. And I realize that Final Fantasy does have some goofy things like Moogles and chocobos, even though the chocobos just have like gotten more and more realistic over the past like couple of decades. And then like even the Moogle that's in 16, you know, it's like a running joke that only Clive sees it. And there's like some kids that can see it, but the adults are all like, you silly, Moogles don't exist and stuff like that. And it's like, I just don't see Dragon Quest doing that. I think that Dragon Quest relies way more on humor than Final Fantasy ever did, really. I mean, just between puns, character interactions, just the way you don't have a bunch of bosses and monsters constantly based around puns.
It's true. You don't have a sham hamwich in Final Fantasy.
Yeah. And so it's like, yes, Final Fantasy has jokes and things like that. But I mean, even just going back to looking at like Dragon Quest III and Final Fantasy III, just looking at the tonal differences there. And so I think it's just kind of a natural progression for both of them. And I think too, that like with DQ12, the thing to think about as well is that it's like a lot of the people who grew up playing Dragon Quest, especially like from a Japanese perspective, like people who when Dragon Quest was like the hottest thing of all time, like a lot of those people who were kids are adults now, may have their own families and things like that.
Right.
And so I think that making a Dragon Quest game that's meant for 40-year-olds could be a good thing. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, you know? Like people always make fun of Wilco for making Dad Rock, but you know, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot is like one of my favorite albums. And I'm a dad, and I liked it before I was a dad.
I'm just going to sit here and say yes, because I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to agree with you because I trust you.
Yes, you should. Also, can I have your credit card information and social security number?
Sure. It is 732. No, it's not actually. None of that is right. Although, you know, you said that Final Fantasy didn't have a lot of puns. 16 does have one of my favorite puns of Final Fantasy character names. On there's a side quest, and I think it's like Dalmetia. I think I can't remember the name of it. It's the
Dalmechia.
Dalmechia, yeah. And there's a side quest where you have to go. The water has gotten too hot in the bathhouse, and you go, and there are a bunch of bombs over there heating it up, and they're called bath bombs. The name of them are bath bombs, and it made me giggle a lot because Riley was watching me play it at that point. He was like, "Why are they called bath bombs?" They're, I'm like, "Oh, I had to explain to him that the monster was called bombs. They're heating up the bath," and it's like, because he's only known bath bombs like the things you throw in bath, so he didn't actually get the pun because he didn't know that was the name of the monster. And then the big one that comes up is called Old Faithful. And it explodes and makes everything go up, and it was a blue one. And I thought that those were good Final Fantasy pun names for side quest stuff. I really appreciated having to go kill a group of bath bombs because they were making the baths too hot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have been pleasantly surprised by the amount of, like, jokes and just, like, sense of humor that Final Fantasy 16 has.
Right.
And there's been several instances like that where it was like Easter eggs to another game or just a funny little joke like that, where I was like, okay, I see what you're doing here. This is funny, even though the main story can be very serious at times. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you are on a very serious quest at that point in the story, but then it's like, hey, let's do this silly little side quest, and we're going to have bath bombs and Old Faithful at you. Yeah, I can appreciate that. I still don't think that a series like Dragon Quest is going to lean that heavily into being serious. And I don't know. I don't think people need to be worried.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried. Like, I'm worried about it because I've seen it happen so much lately with Square Enix on getting super dark with things, with, you know, Stranger of Paradise, with 16 leaning this way. I mean, we've all played Heavensward, and we know that was just a slog. And for Final Fantasy 14, like, they want to go really serious with some of these. I'm really afraid that that's bleeding over into the Enix side with 12. But I mean, Treasures wasn't. It doesn't look like the new Monsters game is going, even though it is, you know, the Dark Prince, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a very dark, serious thing. So I'm hopeful it's not going to be like Elden Ring serious for 12.
I would be willing to place a lot of money on it not. Like, I mean, I guess never say never, but I don't know if Dragon Quest XII is dark like Elden Ring, I will eat my left hand on this podcast, just live on the podcast. You guys can hear me munching on my hand and just.
Oh, we'll do a video podcast for that one. If you're going to eat your hand, we're recording it with.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very confident. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think it will be, you know, Elden Ring serious at all. I'm really hoping it comes in somewhere under Final Fantasy XV darkness. Because I really actually liked the story in Final Fantasy 15, but I hope that Dragon Quest 12 isn't even that serious, like in terms of like gritty, dark parts of the game.
Yeah,
but it does handle, but like you said, it does already handle very serious themes, dealing with human issues and dealing with humanitarian stuff, with slavery and different kinds of stuff. So we'll see. I went back and also looked at the logo again just a few minutes ago just to see, and I'm like, that's a little darker than I thought it was.
But like, is it the updated logo?
It is.
It looks a little different.
It was the updated logo. That was what came up, and I'm like, it doesn't look that different. And
yeah.
But yeah, so.
I think that people latched on to the adult theme part of that interview, but didn't look at the bigger picture where they're talking about, you know, an entire pandemic happened and most of these people are working from home and there's just all sorts of challenges, and if it's appealing to adults in terms of like not mature themes, but just in terms of like having a nice like adult appeal to sentimentality or nostalgia or whatever. Like I could really get behind that. I'm a very I'm a very sentimental person. I talk a big game and I'm cranky. Mm-hmm. But I'm sentimental deep down.
You are. You really are. And, you know, I also think that a lot of it is what you mentioned at the very, very beginning. I think what is going to come from this is, and really what he meant was that this is a new kind of Dragon Quest game, that they've never tried to make one that was, you know, dealing with it like this. And so, of course, there are going to be development delays because of all this other stuff and tackling it from a new angle. Like that's,
and there's the combat changes. I mean, it sounds like they're doing some different things, and I get that pretty much every Dragon Quest game has had some kind of combat changes, but it's like depending on just how big those changes are.
Yeah.
I think that the other thing was like the series producer said that they were making changes based on because of how old the series was, that some updates were needed.
And right.
Like, that's the kind of thing that scares me more than anything. I'm just like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, there are so many wonderful things about Dragon Quest. And, like, I'm more worried about that kind of side of it. I'm more worried about, like, a more, like, from a creative standpoint, like, I think of Yuji Horii as being more, like, a creative, you know, side of things.
Right.
Whereas I think of, like, the, you know, president of Square Enix is, like, a big corporate person. So, like, if a corporate mentality is, oh, we got to make some changes because of how old the series is. If it's not coming from a place creatively, but from a place of purely like someone in an office somewhere staring at numbers and like, we got to get those numbers up, then that's where I think the problem is.
And I think that, like, yes, first of all, yes. I think there are going to be ways that they can change it, the turn-based strategy, the turn-based combat, to be something that is still what it is at its core. I mean, there are lots of different turn-based systems out there that aren't that even change things up quite a bit that aren't action RPG. And so I'm still really hopeful that it's still going to be at its base, not an action RPG. The more I've thought about it, the more I've played 16 and like gone back and played, working my way through the end of Final Fantasy IV right now on Switch as well. And like, and watching Fallon play Final Fantasy X as well, it makes me be like, they can change up a lot about the Dragon Quest combat system without, and making it more strategic or whatever they want to call it, without changing its core, without changing it being a fun turn-based strategy game. The only thing I don't want is active time battle. Like, I don't like the ATB in Final Fantasy, and I never have. So I'm hoping they don't go something with that route.
I honestly half expect it to be more like, I realize this is kind of a tangent, but I honestly expect it almost to be more like the Trails of Cold Steel games.
Yeah.
It's turn-based, but sometimes, and even going back a little bit older than that, like Trails in the Sky or like the Crossbell games, where like placement matters, where
yes,
there's like more of a grid to look at, where it's still turn-based, but sometimes placement matters and there's like strategy.
I love those battle systems.
The main reason
I started playing Trails in the Sky in the first place was I saw screenshots of the battle system and I was like, well, that's just perfect. And fell in love with the game after that. But yeah, that would be great. Like, you give me a DQ game that does that and it might be my favorite game in the series just based on that entirely.
Speaking of, my Trails into Reverie code got here a while back and I need to actually play it because I've been playing FF16 and so now I'm like, what do I do?
You're probably about halfway through Final Fantasy 15 now, right? Or 16, right?
I think it says I'm at like 61% or something like that. Where I am right now.
Yeah, I think I'm like 65-70% now. So I'm really enjoying it still. I think you and I were talking yesterday on text that it was like some of the icon battles go on for too long,
yeah.
Especially as the game goes further. But the one after Titan that you went through, I think, is actually much more fun. It's very long, but it also changes so much more than the Titan one did.
Yeah, we shall see. I do hope, that being said, I do hope that Dragon Quest XII does not have these kind of cinematic fights that FF16 has, because I'm tired of them already. Like, now, I just want a boss fight. I just want like a regular old boss fight.
Okay, so I agree to a point. I do like in the middle of a fight, how there are the cinematic moments where it does like they do like the special moves and clashes that are basically like the like active time like event where you have to like press square or R1 or something where it's really easy, but you still like have it change up. I would be fine with something like that because I've liked it where it just changes the battle screen, something cool happens, and then you go back to the normal fight. That I like it being interrupted that way as opposed to being like these huge epic set piece fights like that. I don't want that kind of thing, like the huge icon fights, but I want the ones like you can get even in your normal battles with the cinematic moments and cinematic clashes and stuff that they call them.
Yeah, I don't know. I like just regular old boss fights. That's all Austin needs.
I get bored in actual boss fights in games a lot of times if they have too many hit points. Kind of like you and I talked about with Titan in that one part where you're just kind of smacking him. It's like there are too many hit points here. I'm doing the same thing over and over again, and it's not changing. Like that when a boss has too many hit points. Kind of like super bosses. I get bored during super boss fights.
Yeah, but see, I never felt like I encountered that in, say, Dragon Quest XI. I never found the boss where I was like, this thing has too many hit points. There was always like some kind of strategy involved. Like, okay, you need to take off this down this tentacle first, or like there's something to kind of mix it up. Where I feel like a lot of like bosses in FF16 or even in like that's why I bounced off of Bravely Default 2 about 2/3 of the way in is because
yeah.
So much of it just got to feeling like, okay, this isn't necessarily challenging so much as just that like everything has about twice as much health as it should have, and so it's just long. I guess the challenge is not like dying of old age by the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, like that,
that's where the challenge is.
Yeah, I see that.
Before we go though, I do want to remind everybody my other podcast JRPGs and Me started up with new episodes this past week. If you would like to check those out, I would be forever grateful. And also you can follow it on Spotify. Give it a review if you listen to it already. But the first two episodes are already up because I wanted to get a couple out really quickly. So first one was on Xenosaga, episode 1, which I know we've brought up on this podcast quite a bit. And then the second one was on Ever Oasis, which I'm sure I've mentioned on this podcast.
But, so good.
Ever Oasis is really, really good. Yeah, and there's new episodes every Monday now. And so I have a lot of them preset scheduled to go up already. By the time this episode is live, the next one to go up for episode 3 will actually be Final Fantasy V, which we kind of did a versus episode between DQ5 and FF5 on this podcast a while ago. And so, yeah, so check out that one on Final Fantasy V. And then I've also got Dragon Quest 8. Scarlet Nexus, of course, in the pipeline, Pokemon Yellow, just a whole lot of others coming up really soon. So please check that out because I had fun making them.
Yeah, and you talk about Scarlet Nexus, and that is one of the ones where you're like, please go buy Scarlet Nexus so they make me a sequel.
Yes, that's I actually say that in that episode.
I figured you did because you said it on here.
Yeah, I think more than once. Yes.
Yeah, so...
And if there's ever a Scarlet Nexus 2, like everybody who listens to this podcast, you like everybody just needs to start emailing me and like messaging me to let me know if I don't know it already, because that's going to be a good day for me.
It really, really will. And I actually feel bad that you got it for me for Christmas and I haven't played through it yet. And I really look forward to it. Like that's one that I have sitting beside my PS5. Like to play, like it's one of the few that I have just that sitting beside the machine that I need to get to play. And it being on PS5 is the only reason I haven't dug into it yet. But as much as you keep talking about it, I'm digging into it really soon.
Yeah, it's really good. Now that you're in more of an action RPG mood from.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was one of my hesitations is I hadn't wanted to play like an action game. And then after going through Crisis Core and 16, it's like, yeah, y'all play Scarlet Nexus.
But don't get too tired because the Die game comes out in just a couple of months.
That's true.
Now.
It's just a couple months.
We're
it's
very
crazy.
Close to it now. Yeah. It's about 2 months away. So you can't get all action RPG'd out because I'm going to get really mad at you if the Die game comes out and I'm having so much fun with it or not. Who knows? I don't know. It's not out yet.
I don't know. You hate Die.
But I don't hate Die. I just can't get into it. Like, I can't. Yeah. Like, it's so different from the rest of Dragon Quest. That there's like some kind of disconnect. I don't know, from even though it has like Dragon Quest monsters and other things in it, there's just like some kind of disconnect there where it has never gelled with me the way that right. pretty much every other Dragon Quest thing has.
It's true.
Like I just I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just weird, but yeah, either way, I'm gonna get mad at you if you're like, but I'm tired of action RPGs.
I do have to decide on what system I'm going to play it, though. I still haven't decided what I want to play Die on, which is actually probably going to end up being Switch now, just to have it in handheld mode.
Yeah, I still prefer play on Switch. Anytime, I expect this to be a pretty sturdy 40-plus hour game.
Yeah.
Just based on how many chapters and everything it's covering.
Right.
And so it's like anytime it's a longer, like... Anytime it's a longer RPG, like I would prefer playing it on Switch. I don't know. It's more tolerable because it's handheld, I guess.
And I think it's like for, it. Yeah, for me, when you say tolerable, it's for me, I can get more comfortable while I play it. And I don't end up having to put other people in my house out because we only have one TV. So like I'll be able to play Die in bed at night before I go to sleep, where I can't do that with like Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, you can't play it. You can't play it in your bed or on your toilet or on your couch or outside.
Man, the number of times I play the Switch on the toilet, man. You know, you don't play Marvel Snap, but you get titles in that game.
Everybody just left.
Yep, they did. Like, nope, but what's really funny, Marvel Snap has titles on it, and one of them is just "I'm on the toilet." It's your name, and then under it you put whether and it's "I'm on the toilet," and that's one of my favorite ones because I play Marvel Snap on the toilet every day.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Internet.
Yeah, there we go. Everybody just has that image now. I think that's a great place to end, which is the image of BJ defecating while playing Marvel Snap.
It's true.
You're welcome,
yes, Spider-Man
world.
2099. Yeah.
All right, welcome, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. I'm so sorry.
We're sorry you listened.
We haven't apologized in a while, but we're sorry you listened. If you want to talk to us for some reason, if you still would like to talk to us, we are on Twitter over at Dragon Quest FM, and you can talk to me personally over at Dragon Quaston.
I'm on Twitter at Professor Beege. I'm giving that whole new Threads thing a shot as at Professor Beege there too. It's Twitter, but not. And I'm on Discord. You can find us at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And we have a Patreon if you would like to support this podcast and continue my talking about playing card games while I poop at Dragon Quest. Nope, at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Thanks, everybody. And we'll
thanks, guys. thanks for coming back next week.
Yes. Bye.
Bye, y'all.